Alrighty, we are back here on Mornings of Box 2 Radio on the Box 2 Radio Network. You know what I thought of? I'm going to have here we go. I got to have some help, Hannah. I told Miss Gretchen I would get the trivia questions because she's spending some much-needed time with Miss Sarah and the kiddos down there in Nashville. And I told her I would get two or three trivia questions for the next two or three days so you don't have to worry about it. And you know what I forgot? To get the trivia questions.
Uh-oh.
So, Hannah, can you come up with me a trivia question real fast on Google or anything? You got an extra one? Oh, we got an extra one? Excellent. All right, here we go. I'll take a picture of this, Mariah. We got some already. All right, here. And then she's going to have the drawing. So, Mariah, are you ready for that drawing? And then we'll read the trivia question after we draw. And this is for the week, 2 weeks prior to the Share-a-thon. Here we go. We're going to see here. She's getting her little handy-dandy whatever spinny wheel thing that she's been doing in there. Randomized drawing. Here we go. I got the drum beat here. She's getting ready to text me. She is consistent. She is not going to talk on that mic. She is ready. She says, nope. Here we go. Who is the winner? Gary Cox won that $20 pizza card and that book. So, Gary, we'll get that sent out to you, my brother. Congratulations getting that little woo on there. And God's doing tremendous things, and brother Gary. So, congratulations, brother Gary Cox, on winning that pizza card. And now, to start the new 2 week
period. What pizza place is it?
It is a Papa in Hardin's County. Oh my goodness. What is that name? It's the cards
Papa
in there.
Papa John's?
No, not Papa John's.
Papa Murphy?
Papa Murphy. No, I don't know. Miss Lisa, please ask.
That sounded like
Lisa
it.
Ashabaugh.
Those are
she
Papas
provided the card.
Later with pizza.
And I hope Miss Lisa's, if she's not, I'll go look at that card here in a minute. Okay. If you wouldn't ask me, I would have been able to tell you. Friday question number one, sponsored by the Sicilian.
Today's Monday.
It's Monday. This was the Friday question that didn't get done. Monday question number one, sponsored by the Sicilian Bank. Who hid Papa Murphy's? You're right. Papa Murphy's. There we go. Thank you so much, Lisa, for providing that card as well, Brother Gregson. I'm sure get a good pizza out of that.
Yeah, I've had Papa Murphy's before.
You like it?
Well, my sister used to live near one, so she doesn't know how to cook, so whenever we go down there, she would get Papa Murphy's pizza.
Monday question number one, sponsored by the Sicilian Bank. I don't even know what to say to that. Who hid 100 prophets of God to protect them from Jezebel? Who hid 100 prophets of God to protect them from Jezebel? 270-257-2689.
Brother Todd Mingus sent me a picture of a what I thought was a mustard seed.
Mm-hmm.
And then he said, I responded, you know, said, oh, thanks, we're cool. He said, I don't think you can grow mustard trees around here, but this is a ketchup seed that he had sent me. He said, I can give you that. You can grow ketchup trees here, he said, which is a tomato plant.
Yes. Yeah. I love Todd. Oh,
So I fell for that one.
We can grow KFC. We can grow a couple things around here. All right. Number, let's do this question first of all. This is a good question. And I'm not for sure if I can answer it as well as I want to because I was not fully prepared. But in the Sunday service yesterday, you mentioned that Palm Sunday was really on Monday. Why do you think that is? Now, I know I'm in an unpopular boat. A lot of people stick to the traditional Sunday. And I'm not saying it's not possible. All right? I should have. Oh, Miss Megan Sosh got that answer right to the trivia question. And that answer is Obadiah, 1 Kings 18:4. I have so many shadows and reflections from taking a picture through the glass. But congratulations, Miss Megan. So excited for what God is doing in you and Brother Joey. All right, here we go. Where was I at here?
Palm Sunday,
thank you. I know I'm kind of in the minority on this, but there's a lot of Bible teachers that believe it was probably on Monday. And again, I was not fully prepared because there is some teaching to go into this. You're going to have to say, was Palm Sunday on Nisan 9th or Nisan 10th? And that's going to be based upon whether you have the crucifixion on Nisan 14th or Nisan 15th. And it's all revolving around John chapter 12 And I'll go over there just to give us some context of this. If you go to John chapter 12, verse 1. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany. So here's where we're going to have to answer. When was this the Passover of Nisan 15th when they actually ate their feast? Or is this the Passover of Nisan 14 where they chose the Passover lamb?
Right.
Which one is it? Like, and it could be either.
So if it was one, it's on a Sunday, and if it was the other, it's on a Monday, what we call Palm Sunday.
Yeah, well, that would be significant too, but I think also if we're going off of, if it's Nisan 15th, then Jesus.
Nisan is the month, right?
Yeah. Jesus, so for us it would be April, basically. April, March, in that area. If it's on the Nisan 15th, this is, I'm just trying to stretch in my brain here. So y'all hang in here with me. I was not fully prepared.
I can't help at all because I don't know.
All right, if it was on Nisan 15th.
I still struggle with why we call it Good Friday.
Well, this is all based off of that. Like, if you have Nisan 15th as the time the Passover they're talking about here, then you are on the Saturday, and then the next day, because the significant thing is Jesus comes in on the 6 days before. So right. Either that's Saturday or Sunday, depending on when you have it. Then in verse 12, it says, on the next day, much people that were coming to the feast when they saw that Jesus. So Jesus came into Bethany, but the day Jesus came into Bethany was not the day he actually went to Jerusalem. And so it says on the next day is when the triumphant entry come in. And so this is where it gets really technical, and there's some technicality sure. to it. It doesn't change anything. At the end of the day, I do believe this is more my chronological viewpoint. And again, I would have maybe I can get all of my ducks in a row and bring it in later on in the week and talk about it. But my chronological viewpoint is that he actually come into Bethany on Sunday. Monday, he did the triumphant entry. Tuesday, he clears the temple. Wednesday, he finalizes his last teaching with the disciples. Thursday, he dies. Okay. That would be mine. And then Friday, Saturday, and then Sunday, he gets out of the grave.
Yeah,
that would be my reconciliation of the order of the Passion Week. Traditionally, that's not what happens. Traditionally, he comes in on the triumphant entry on Sunday. Monday, he cleanses the temple. Tuesday, I guess he just chills out. Wednesday, he does kind of he's teaching some more. Thursday would be kind of the Last Supper, and then right. the garden experience, and then Friday morning early. It would have been Friday morning he would have had the trial, and Friday morning he would have died. But see, to me, that breaks down the 3 days, even in Jewish thinking, because evening is day.
Mm-hmm.
Even in that, you can't make that 3 days.
Right. There's no way you can go from Friday to Sunday in
you
3 days.
You can't. You cannot. Even with the Jewish thinking of evening and day, you cannot make that 3 days. He had to have died, for me, on Thursday.
Yeah.
And that would have put, and I would say most likely it was later Thursday, because I think the trial was illegal within itself. You don't go into the high priest's backyard and do the trial. You're supposed to do it in a different place, but it was in a backyard. Literally, they did a trial, and then they still had to take him before Pilate. They had to do all that. So I believe he died sometimes in the day on Thursday, resurrected on Sunday. I believe that.
Well, it's clear he resurrected on Sunday because it's the first day of the week.
And I would go more towards the area of the 6 days before Passover would have been 6 days before the choosing of the lamb. But okay. I tell you, John MacArthur does pretty good teaching on all this, much better than I could. And then a lot of your Hebraic roots people, they have their chronological order of Passion Weeks a lot different than the traditional one that we cover. Because honestly, the one we cover and the one we adhere to a lot is more derivative from like a Constantine kind of thinking.
Right.
And more church tradition and oral tradition, not so much of trying to line up the scripture and say exactly what's going on.
Sure.
And so, because I think the way I've seen it is if we stick to a traditional Palm Sunday, and then Monday's the clearing of the temple and all that, and then going into Friday is the death, Sunday the resurrection. For one, it just doesn't line up with the 3 days. And that was a sign that he said, I'm going to give you the one sign I am going to give you is a sign of Jonah. Like, I'm going to be in the belly for 3 days, the earth.
Mm-hmm. Right. You don't have to be a mental giant to figure that out, that you can't
good
you
things,
pull 3 days out of from Friday to Sunday.
All of these are derivative off of Nisan 9th and 10th. and then Nisan 14th and 15th, and where's this Passover that's lining up? Are they talking about the feast, or are they talking about the choosing of the Passover lamb, which was both significant events?
Right.
But that's why I said it. I should have said it probably most likely, in my opinion, maybe Monday. I probably put too much certainty on it when I said that statement. So
no, that's fine. Well, let me ask you this. You know, we celebrate Good Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, that's a day of significance, and then also Palm Sunday. Do you have a problem that they could be on the wrong day? Just the fact that we're celebrating, that we're drawing attention to that? Yeah. Me neither.
No. I don't get nitpicky on that kind of stuff. I do think it's not Good Friday. I think it probably
a good Thursday.
Good Thursday more than Good Friday, but I'm never going to be bent out of shape if somebody does a good – I would do a Good Friday service. Okay. I mean, I wouldn't mind it a bit just because – I do think that overall we have a good wrap around what we're celebrating. Same thing with, I guess for me, I don't get bent out of shape about Christmas too much, even though we know without hesitation Jesus was not born on December 15th.
Sure.
He was 25th. Most likely, 25th, sorry. it's Monday morning. He definitely, without that hesitation, was probably born somewhere in September, most likely, most people believe. Some people throw out September. Some people throw out April. It's a big difference for me.
That is a big difference.
I would tend to think more towards September, and that's my. But I could be April. But I've heard a lot of people is September.
I've always heard September myself, but I know nothing about it. Any of these topics, to be honest with you, I just know there's no way he could die on Friday, and be resurrected on Sunday.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
So outside of that, I know nothing.
Yeah. And I mean, so I don't get bent out of shape for Good Friday thing. I just know a lot of those are tradition at this point, mm-hmm. not so much scriptural alignment.
Well, really, we should be celebrating Jesus every day. So, I mean, that takes off the pressure a little bit if it's not the exact day. It's just like when you're planning, when you're celebrating Christmas, you might plan different events on different days depending on who can show up to them. So, yeah.
That's right. But, yeah, good question. I wish I could have been more thorough with it. But
well, just showing the basis of it, that's fine. You know, I think that's good.
All right. Now let's get into something that won't stretch our brain as much on this beautiful Monday morning. what exactly is sanctification? All right, I'm taking a break.
That's not going to stretch our brain?
Yeah, I'm taking a break. I've done my job this morning. No, sanctification is, in my opinion, and again, please chime. I feel like I'm talking a lot, so y'all.
No, you're good. Well, I didn't know anything about the other topic, so there's not much I could say.
Now there is. Now I will say this. Let me say one more thing. This past one, and then I'll cover the sanctification. I'm not trying to bail for time. I do really clarify this. There is. All right. So for me, there's not much of an argument for Jesus actually dying on Friday.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I think if he's really 3 days, it almost has to be Thursday. There is very good arguments for Sunday or Monday on the Palm Sunday.
For either or.
Yes. Does that make sense? Is that fair stay? Mm-hmm. Like for me, I'm almost thoroughly convinced he died on Thursday. But on this Monday or Sunday, I could be convinced, persuaded, as Paul would say in areas,
right,
if I dove down deep into the Word and got deep enough into it. And I probably need to study more. I think that would be interesting to really dive deep into the Passion Week. And dive.
That's something
really deep.
We should maybe do next year, is just go through each day, you know, on the broadcast there,
mm-hmm.
and just, you know, what was Jesus doing on that particular day,
yeah,
to the best of our knowledge. So that would be kind of cool.
Yeah. Here we go. So sanctification is a work of the Holy Spirit purifying us and cleansing us. It's a washing. Like sanctification in its truest self means wash. You remember whenever just Joshua and the people of Israel was at the Jordan and they were getting ready to cross over, what did he tell them? He said, sanctify yourself, for tomorrow I'm going to do wonders among you. What was he saying? He's saying, wash yourself. Specifically in that case, he was saying, wash yourself of the ash of mourning, because you've done enough over Moses at this point, and they still had their ash on their face, and they were still in mourning. He's saying, you got to sanctify yourself. You got to get past yesterday, because tomorrow I'm about to do wonders among you. So it's a washing. Right. So I think that the sanctification is a work of the Holy Spirit. I think consecration is the work of us. I think when we consecrate ourselves, we set ourselves aside. But in sanctification, I believe it's a work of the Holy Spirit.
The Spirit does.
Yes. And I believe it is happening at regeneration or being born again, and then I believe it's a continuation after that. So I don't believe sanctification
is a process.
I don't think it's a one-time thing. I think it's a process. I think it's a continuing thing. Now, here's where it gets, man, we are getting technical and deep this morning.
On a Monday.
Or a Monday after Share-a-thon. This is really deeping. This is getting deep. Now, I do believe that we're triune. So we're spirit, soul, and body. I believe that spirit-wise, at regeneration, we are made holy. I believe we are justified. I believe we are reconciled. I believe my spirit man is whole. I believe my spirit man has been fully sanctified. Now, then I think, though, I think it was Brother Greg Carwell talking about this flesh and how this flesh needs to die. Like, mm-hmm. Now I've got to deal with this flesh. My inward man is made whole, but now my mind is being renewed by the word of the Lord, and my hands are being sanctified, and the Lord's doing all of it. So there is a process of where I am sanctified, but then I am being sanctified at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like in Romans 6:22, the King James Version says, "But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life." But in every other version, pretty much every other translation, it says the fruit you get leads to sanctification. Mm-hmm. So they kind of translate the sanctification and holiness as the same.
Yeah. and it is. I mean, sanctification is getting the junk out. It's washing away the sin. It's washing away that. It's the renewal. It's the renewing of your mind. So my mind is being sanctified. Like when I read the Word of God and it's instructing me, it's the Holy Spirit sanctifying me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, consecration would be my giving myself apart, my setting myself. So the Nazarite vow in the Old Testament, whenever they wouldn't cut the hair, they wouldn't drink this, there were certain things they wouldn't do. That was a setting aside. That was a consecrating. That was me setting myself aside and saying, I don't want any of that. I want to set myself aside. I want to consecrate myself to you. Kind of like I see even when Hannah gave Samuel. Is that right? Am I getting my stories mixed up?
Yeah, you're right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Gave him to the temple.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, that was almost like Hannah consecrating her son. I'm setting my son aside.
Yeah.
But sanctification is the work of the Spirit of God purifying me and cleansing me.
Yeah.
And the two go hand in hand.
Yeah, hand in hand. Because it's like a response of the Spirit as we are consecrating ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
They're both necessary. They do go hand in hand. It's all working together in my opinion. This is how I see it through my studies. And I think that sanctification, again, spiritually, we're sanctified in the spirit man, but then now my soul and my body's got some catching up to do, the Spirit of God still working in. And so he's lining it up. And that's, we could get really deep with this. And whenever I teach on this, we do get pretty deep when we talk about soteriology and all this, the study of salvation. But I'm trying to make it to where, because I know, I love that we have kids listen. I love that we have all this. So I'm trying to put it in a way
a general audience, a way that Jesus would put it.
But it is like it's the cleansing. And so to me, like whenever Jay may say a word and then the Holy Spirit convicts him. So it is conviction, but also at the same time, the Holy Spirit's sanctifying you because now he's drawing you to a level of holiness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so when the Lord deals with you, but also it's a washing. It's a cleansing. And so it's a beautiful thing. And we should ask the Holy Spirit every day, sanctify me today, cleanse me, you know, mold me, shape me, even from a young age, whether it's 5 or 50, we could all be sanctified and sanctified more today than we were yesterday.
Amen. I like it.
All right.
It's good stuff.
Anybody else? Hey.
No.
We're at break time. Yeah. Greg Carwell said, "I agree with your view on what we's talking about with Jesus' death. I believe that they get 3 days from Friday to Sunday by saying he rose on Sunday, so technically he was in the grave on the third day. They say he was buried the same day he died. That's their viewpoint. And I get that. Like that, yeah. That is an argument, but if we're arguing from a Jewish standpoint, that breaks down.
Yeah.
Because that's not how they do. Because Friday, if he died on Friday, be Friday to Saturday is one day, and then Saturday to Sunday's two.
Yeah.
Because that would, and well, I guess depending on what time he died, I guess they could
what time
argue
he was buried, really.
What time he was buried. I guess they would, if he buried early enough, maybe he was 5 minutes before 6 p.m. or whatever it was, and he was in the grave for Friday, and then Saturday to Sunday, and then, I mean, well.
And there's daylight savings time, too.
See, this is where it gets really confusing. I really do believe he died on Thursday. All right. But, yeah, I get that. I really have to think on it and stretch it. But good question so far. I hope we get some easier ones after the break, because my what little hair I got left right now is pushing.
The topic of sanctification it's a tough one. It's like it's easy to understand, but at the same time it's complex as well, mm-hmm. because it's a continuing process. You're sanctified at salvation, but then you're also sanctified as you grow.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah, so. The growing is really important. I think an easier way to look at it is growing spirit, like maturing spiritually.
Yeah.
And getting closer and closer to the Father and knowing his heart and like getting so in tune with him that you can hear him so clearly when he speaks and that you're almost one. Yeah. We're already one, but coming closer into unity
yeah.
with him.
And that sanctification is pivotal in that, because sanctification deals with the sin and the bad thinking and the bad habits and all that. That doesn't make it a salvation issue. It makes it a communion issue.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. And sin is what separated us from the yes. Father to begin with. So it's just that almost reuniting us.
Yeah, it does, 100%. And Pastor Dwayne Kidd said, Good Friday was a good reason for a 3-day weekend. amen. But you're right, Hannah. It really does. And it is necessary for the process of sanctification, because one thing that, you know, it's like this. The church dealt with a whole lot of sin, used to the point where we became legalistic. And now, if anything, we're on the opposite spectrum and not dealing with any sin. And now we've become sloppy grace. And so we've got to walk yeah. in balance.
I would say, just from experience, the more that you are becoming sanctified, the more that you want to continue to become sanctified.
Sure.
Like, the more that you see the Spirit working in your life and getting that sin out and all of the things that used to hold you back, the more that you don't want that stuff anymore.
Sure.
You want to continue to get so sanctified that you're so much even closer to the Father and closer to, yeah. you know, so it's like, it's almost like through the process you want it even more, but sometimes in the beginning it's really hard because you're, you know, the Holy Spirit's working on those things that maybe have been in there inside of us for a long time and we haven't been willing to let go of yeah. certain sin, certain ways of thinking, bitterness, pride, you know, whatever it is. Everyone has different things, but the more that he takes away those things, the more you want him to take away anything else
yeah.
that would keep you from him.
Well, we gotta take a break here. Amen to that. It's our hard break at 8. Let's do our second trivia question for the morning, sponsored by Farm Bureau Insurance. What New Testament word means teacher? 270-257-2689. What New Testament word means teacher? We'll be right back here after the break on Mornings of Box 2 Radio on the Box 2 Radio Network. All righty, we are back here talking about how everything's smarter than me. we need an answer for that trivia question. I had a couple people text me in the answer, but I can't accept a text answer because we never know. That's just a rule for our trivia question, that you got to call it in for the one reason that if Hannah gets a text, I get a text, and Jason gets a text, who texts first? And
sure.
So we always just do a call in for the answer. And then I know there's a couple people just texting them just to see if they got the right answer. So if you want to get in on the drawing and answer the question, You'll have to call him. Can't accept text messages on that part. Miss Gail gave a good question. I heard a David Wilkerson video where he said the baptism of fire was the conviction of your sin. Is that correct? Now, I have a little bit difference on the baptism of fire. So whenever John says that I baptize you with water, but there's one coming after me who's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire, I believe that it is a conviction of your sin, because it's anytime the Holy Spirit's involved, Holy Spirit convicts the world of its sin. That's a promise in John. But I do believe the baptism of fire is a baptism purification. And so it's not just conviction of your sin. It's actually a baptism that eradicates your sin. It causes you to be – it kills sin in your life spiritually. That's why Romans 6 can say we're dead to sin but alive to Christ, that we're no longer slaves to unrighteousness, but we present our members as slaves to righteousness. And why is that? Because we've been baptized with the fire. And when you baptize with the fire, it's a Greek word that actually is a word that means it's an all-consuming, that everything is brought into alignment. So I think it's Peter that says the earth was burned with a fervent fire. I think Hebrews, is it Hebrews, Jay, or Hannah, answer me, tell me if I'm wrong, that we're consumed by an all-consuming fire. What's he saying there? It's a fire that brings everything back into purity, holiness, and right standing. It's an alignment fire. It's a fire that purifies. So in Corinthians, he talks about that all the works that's going to be done outside of any other motivation other than glorifying to God is going to be burned up with a hay fire and stubble. It's going to be burned up with the hay and stubble. What's that? The fire. It's going to come and purify. So fire is actually a purifying agent. So when he says, I'm going to baptize you with Holy Ghost and fire, I believe that he's going to baptize us with that. We're baptized in the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit gets into regeneration and he's given us new life. He's given us a new heart. And that fire is saying he's not just giving us a new heart. He's purifying us and cleansing us at the same time. And so I believe the fire within itself is a sanctifying agent. Mm-hmm. I hope that makes sense. That's a lot to spit out. Man, this Monday morning is, I believe that the fire is sanctifying within itself. And when we're baptized in this baptism of fire, we treat it as if we're just like, it's baptized into, wah, yeah! But it's actually bigger than that. It's baptized into purification. It's baptized into sanctification. It's baptized into holiness and righteousness. Mm-hmm. And we've got to treat the fire of God. Like when I pray for the fire of God on Sunday morning. So like yesterday I was on my face praying, God, send your fire, send your spirit, send that. I am not praying, God, send this excitement. I'm saying, God, send a purifying agent. Cleanse us, mold us, give us a holy encounter.
Yeah, and honestly, I'm glad that you mentioned that, because I feel like when you hear, you know, I've been baptized with fire by the Holy Spirit, or, you know, you think it's going to be like a like an exciting, loud, like outward thing. Mm-hmm. like you're going to be able to outwardly see it in somebody, like, oh well, if you don't, you know, what was your experience being baptized with the Holy Spirit fire? Yeah. But honestly, even like with the manna thing, like I feel like even that can be taken and become an idol on, like, oh, the experience of it, but truly what's happening on the inside. Mm-hmm. You know, like I do feel like it's an inward purification. So yeah. It might look different, and it might, excuse me, it might, someone might get baptized, and when you're praying that on a Sunday, someone might get baptized with the fire without even going up in front of everyone, just in their seat, just with them and the Lord.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And because we never know what's happening, and I don't think it always, you know, I think the baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire looks different for different situations. And I know some of our listeners will disagree with me on that and on this, and I love you, and I hope you love me when after I say it. I do not believe that tongues is the only evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And the reason I say that is in Acts, it did show tongues a couple times, but then it also showed spirit of prophecy. They prophesied at 1:2. And in that portion of Acts, it says they spoke in tongues and then some prophesied. Like some spoke in tongues, some prophesied. It looked like there was both things going on there. And I believe that tongues is a manifestation, but not the only manifestation of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And I think that it's it's what's going on there is so much bigger than just the external gifting that's being manifested. It's the internal transformation that's happening and the endowment with power. And really, being filled with the Holy Spirit is not a one-time situation, in my opinion. I think whenever Ephesians says, do not be drunk with wine, but is it Ephesians? Man, I'm asking a lot of questions. I'm just trying to run off my head here. Whenever
sorry, I was kind of checked out. I was studying the lyrics to Mary, Did You Know.
Good. You're getting ready to sing it. There's a lot of listeners waiting, so you better get geared up. And so... But it's
I don't even know what you're talking about right now.
And so, but it's saying, do not be drunk with wine.
It's definitely
in excess. That's Ephesians, yeah, Ephesians 4.
But be filled with the Holy Spirit.
Or maybe it's 5.
Now, help me out here because you do teach English, Jason. Uh-huh. It's in the Greek behind that field. It's a participle, right? That is basically saying it's ongoing. Is that the right grammar term?
Or you could say a present participle.
Present participle. That's what I'm looking
for. It ends in an ing word.
Yes. Yeah. And it's basically saying it's a continuation. Yeah. It's ever present.
Oh, it's progressive. I'm sorry.
You're progressive. Talking about progressive. Yeah. Help me out here, English teacher.
The progressive form. Yeah.
I just know what
it's continuing action.
I'm a redneck trying to do Greek. Okay. And so it's this thing is that it's always before us. It's every single day we're waking up being filled with the Holy Spirit. And I think it's a continuing pouring out, and I think it's a continuing being filled, and I think it's a beautiful thing because, honestly, in the era of Christianity I grew up in, with the denomination I grew up in, it was like a one-time thing, and that's it. And it's like, once you did that one time, you got it. And I'm like, okay, that was great, but I kind of need another dose today. Yesterday was great, but can I get another dose? Like, because I need him every single day. And I need to be empowered and filled every single day. And I think there is a significance behind the baptism of the Holy Spirit and that time it happens. Like, I think there is that feeling and that infilling. I'm not talking about like just emotion. I'm talking about the infilling. And I think there is a baptism of the Holy Spirit and fire. But I think every day after that, we're still continuing to be baptized and being filled. So.
Yeah. Whew.
It's good.
I'm just talking. Y'all feel like I feel like I'm dominating the conversation.
No, you're good.
All right. Good stuff, Miss Gail. Thank you so much for that question. Let's get back to this more. What is your favorite saltwater taffy? No, just kidding. Was Cornelius in Acts chapter 10 saved before he met Paul? I have texts about this, Mary. Did you know, Jay? Come on.
Might as well get it over with.
Come on, just a couple lines. Hannah, I'll sing it with you.
Oh, God.
Do we have, I should have had some instrumental music or something.
Hold on,
like that.
I can get this.
I don't know if we got, do you think you can hear it?
Can it work through the phone?
Probably.
Let me get you started.
Okay, let's see. Hold up.
Hold on, guys.
Wait, you need to text a bunch of people. I'm just kidding.
Oh.
Don't go that far.
Oh, my goodness. Just a couple lines, Jay.
I'm trying to get the instrumental.
All right.
He don't know where to start at, though.
Well, let me just read the chorus to you.
I don't think that's it.
I don't know what that was. That's an ad.
Here's I'm just going to read the chorus. Mary, did you know? Mary, did you know? Mary, did you know? Did you know?
He don't know where to come in at.
I know.
Oh, here we go. It's the karaoke version. Look.
All right, I can see it over there now.
Jay's getting a little old, so it's a little hard for him to see from a distance.
Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know?
I love it.
That your baby boy would save our sons and... She's recording that. My goodness. That your baby boy has come to make his...
I love it.
And this... You're covering up the lyrics there. Would soon deliver you. Then they go in the whisper part. Mary, did you know?
I can't look.
That's
at
what gets on my nerves. That's what I don't like is whenever they it's real dramatic or they have these pauses. Then they'll go down to that whisper, Mary, did you know?
I want to hear the blind will see part. The lame will leave.
That's enough. That's enough. Now nobody likes this song.
Thank you. I don't think anyone thought you would actually do it.
Oh, my gosh. My phone is lighting up right now.
Mariah's recording it, too.
Heather says, oh my goodness, he sounds like Brother Ron.
Well, last night Kelly said, maybe you should practice. And I was like, that is not going to do any good. And then she said, let's listen to a couple of songs. And I said, well, A, I don't like the song. And B, I don't want to hear somebody sing it well because I know it's not going to help me any.
Miss Gail just said, my favorite version ever. Joey Sauce says, encore, encore.
Oh, my God.
Dakota Hiddle says, I'm dying. Kirk Harwell said, make it stop.
See what I'm saying? Now nobody likes this song.
Oh, but he's laughing. Miss Megan Sauce says she's loving it.
Oh,
Gary Cox says, leave him alone. Go, Jason.
Leave him alone.
Josh Newton wanted to know if your face was glowing red.
It was. I'm going to have to move is what I'm going to have to do.
Lisa Ashball says, Jason, all for the glory of God. Josh Newton wants you to join the worship team every day.
Oh, goodness.
Wow. Oh, that was awesome.
I think he deserves something, like some sort of prize.
Oh, my goodness. That was amazing.
That was harder than I thought, even with the lyrics.
Even with the lyrics.
Yeah.
Hey, but it did help at least that it had the timing of when it comes on from the karaoke.
But it was still, I mean, I thought it would just, I just kind of jump into it, but it was not. I got way off target there several times. Now everybody knows why I don't
sing. One listener said, I believe if he really tried, he could sing that song.
No, I could not.
I loved it. I absolutely loved it. My wife said, first of all, I can't sing. Second thing is, I can't sing the right lyrics, even with the lyrics in front of me. Greg Carwile said, you definitely deserve a prize. So here's what we're going to do. Next week, somebody brings him in tater cakes. Somebody bring him in a tater cake next week.
Oh, my goodness.
Potato pie. What is a potato?
My wife's at the doctor's office. She said, even the people at the doctor's office were listening. Oh, I am going to have to move.
Oh, my God.
It's been nice knowing y'all.
Oh, that's good.
I'll never be able to show my face again.
Oh, this is even better, Jason. Gretchen Miller, only a mother could appreciate this. Your sister really enjoyed it, too.
Only a mother.
Gosh.
Oh, my goodness. Greg Carwile is rolling still. This may have been the best thing that's ever happened on Mornings of Boston Radio.
You know what? But the way I see it, the positive takeaway is Jason is a man of his word, you know?
I didn't even say I would do it.
He didn't shy away from it, even if it wasn't
it's
his
words.
It's
not even my word.
I'm pretty sure I volunteered for it.
He didn't even shy away from someone else's word.
I'm just so excited that Miss Sarah got to hear it.
Oh, gosh.
Man. It, honestly, yeah. though, it wasn't as bad as I expected it to be.
Well, thank you.
It really was.
I would have been worse.
And I'm a worshiper. I'm a music person, so.
I'm worse.
I didn't realize how you could get off tune so quick. I mean, I've never been on tune, but I mean.
Okay, go watch.
Even I knew I was way off.
Just go look up some failed attempts at American Idol auditions, and it'll make you feel better.
Yeah, I've seen that.
One listener said, Bill Gaither will be calling you soon. Yeah. Miss Gail said, I hope that was recorded for Sunday service so everybody missed it. Oh, it is. It is.
Oh, gosh.
Planet X, the Christmas service this year.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Oh, my goodness. That was worth all 3 days of the share. Just that with the one right there. Oh, thank you, Jason. That was awesome. I thought you did do pretty good.
No,
you had a Brother Ron hint in your voice right there. All right, Miss Gretchen. I see Miss Gretchen's three little dots, so I'm excited to see what she. You're going to hear about this.
I know.
Thanksgiving.
I would have been.
Sister was listening.
My voice would have been shaking because, I mean, there's so many people who have been tuning in to hear you. I mean, I would have been even more nervous than that.
Sarah wants the recording for future use.
Golly. I didn't think about that. until I saw Mariah recording it in there from the other room.
Miss Mariah wants to know if there's going to be a special Christmas play just so Mr. Miller can sing that song.
No, there's not.
Bethel Christian Academy will be putting on a production next year with Mary Did You Know in it that Jason Miller will be leading.
But that's why I don't really care for that song, is that...
That little whisper part.
Yes, and then that dramatic pause all the time.
Miss Hill said, thank you, Jason. My day has been made. Oh, you're a brave man. Oh, my gosh. That brings a joy to
when
my...
When is Jim Waters calling in?
8:30. I don't even know how to segue to the next Bible question here. After that, that was... I mean... Let's see here. Can we make a radio spot out of that somehow?
No, we can't. I'm going to burn down the radio station after the program is over.
Oh, Miss Gail says that she has a new respect and love for you, Jason. You got a lot of support
here.
Right. You got a lot of support.
There's more supporters than haters, honestly.
Okay.
But I will, Miss Gretchen, I will have that recording ready for his wonderful sister.
To be clear, though, I never said I would sing that song. You volunteered it. And somehow it turned into a man of my word.
I thought I heard it.
So I had to defend my own honor, even though.
I thought I heard it, but it was a long three.
Well, I was even convinced that I said it for a while. You know how what did Adolf Hitler say? If you tell a lie long enough, you start to believe it, or so something like that.
Aaron is a manipulator. Well, yeah. But it resulted in a really fun day. So
I don't like the word manipulator. Word persuader.
Aaron the persuader.
Joey Sauce says new sound for the soundboard that can be one of the things Roger can play. Yeah. One listener says, best morning broadcast ever. Okay. Say, look what you've done, Jason. Look what you've done.
Joy the Lord.
Well, people are listening. Well, they were anyway.
No, people's listening.
He's
trust me.
Radio celebrity.
I can't wait for the rerun. I'll have to put it on rerun. Jason Miller will be on rerun tonight singing this song. Greg Carwell said he's a man of someone else's word.
That's right. Yeah, that's a good point.
Oh, man.
I love it. I don't even know if we have time for another question at this point. let me see here. Wasn't we supposed to be dealing with Cornelius? All right.
Yeah, we were. That's right.
All right. We got 7 minutes. I'm going to try to answer this last question here.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my goodness. That was awesome. Thank you, Jason. That made my week right there.
Whatever.
Aaron's next. Aaron's next.
The way kid said, I missed it. Can he do it again, please?
Oh, my God.
No, I cannot.
You'll find the video somewhere.
This was my last day on the broadcast.
It'll be viral on YouTube soon.
You probably just become the favorite person on Mornings of Box TV right now. Let's go to Acts chapter 10. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian Band, a devout man and one that feared God with all of his house, which...
Where are we at, Acts 10? I'm sorry. Yes.
Which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God anyway. He saw in a vision, evidently, that about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming in to him and saying to him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, thy prayers and thy alms are come up before a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, which is surnamed Peter. He lodges there with Simon, a tenor, whose house is by the sea. And so let's skip down a little bit. And when the angel which spake unto Cornelius was I can't even do this. I'm still thinking. He called two of his household servants and a devout soldier unto them that waited on him continually. And when he had declared all these things to him, he sent them to Joppa. What's his foot tapping? Because I'm always thinking about being excited and his foot started to tap.
No, it was not.
That's why I got off tune.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's just try to answer this because I'm a wreck right now. All right.
I need to read this.
All right, here's what I think. I don't think Cornelius was saved. I think he was a God-honoring man. I think he was doing what he knew to do. But I think that God sent Peter to preach the gospel. And I think that Cornelius did hear the gospel. And I think from that point, I think Cornelius was converted. But I don't know.
I'm not persuaded that he was born again prior to that. I think he was just a God-honoring man, just the same way as, per se, some others that walked in integrity, walked in character, walked in God-honoring things, but until they heard the gospel was born again.
I think verse 25.
Is that where it's at? I was trying to get down there.
But Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him.
Yeah.
I don't think a man of God.
No. But Peter took him up, stand up. I myself also.
What is Roger doing in there? He's in the production room.
we can't do it yet. Okay. Okay. It's coming. Don't worry. And as he talked with him, he went and found many were to come together. So yeah, I do agree with you on that. But I do think that Cornelius ultimately was converted, and I think that he heard the truth. And I think that Cornelius did become a believer. I think he was a God-honoring man, and I think he was a God-fearing man, but I don't think he was a man who heard the gospel yet. And I think he was converted, but at the start of Acts chapter 10, I don't believe that he was converted yet. Agree?
Yeah.
I think a lot of people are along that persuasion.
I have heard it taught before that he may have been a believer, but had some idolatry mixed in, as did a lot of people in those days. That they had a knowledge and an understanding of salvation, but some of the traditions of the day were mixed in with their beliefs. And so that this was God's way of purifying his beliefs. And so I don't know for sure. I'm not really of that persuasion, but I've heard that taught too.
Mm-hmm. I think that's still happening today a lot.
Yeah.
Idolatry mixed in.
Yeah, or people have works mixed in. Yeah,
yeah, I mean... Well, what we hear of Cornelius quite a bit is God heard his prayer. We don't know what his prayer was, but we heard it. I mean, God heard it, and he also, his alms and his giving came up before as a memorial before God. but you were right about, you know, when Peter came in, Cornelius met and fell at his feet and worshiped him. But Peter like ripped him up, like don't worship me, don't do this. And as he talked with him, he went in and found many were come together. So he was basically found out there's a lot of other people there. Mm-hmm. And so I know the common consensus was that Cornelius probably wasn't born again before then, but I'd have to look. I just want to look at it some more. Let me look at it. Let's see here. Brother Dwayne Kidd said Acts 10:6, he lodges with one Simon, a tanner whose house is by the sea. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do.
There we go.
And so, and I think
that's... I think you were laughing when you read through that verse there.
I couldn't quite make out what you were saying.
I was trying not to laugh, but I kept on hearing the tune in my head. And so, but we did know that he was a centurion of the band called the Italian Band, a devout man, and one that feared God with all of his house, which gave much alms and prayed to God always. And so, and when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, "What is it, Lord?" And so he had a relationship with him. We could tell that somehow, some way. Yeah. It was like there was this honoring. There was this consensus. But I don't really know how to reconcile all that, like per se, right off the top of my head without looking into it.
Well, we do know that God has spoken to people, you know, even in today, you know, who were not believers and you know, directed them. You know, to you know, very similar situations, directed them to a missionary or a pastor or whatever,
sure,
so that they could receive salvation.
Yeah,
you know, so that's not uncommon,
mm-hmm,
for God to do that. But
and all throughout the Old Testament, we had God honoring, God fearing, yeah, praying to God men who weren't necessarily born again until they were Jesus descended the depths of Shiloh and preached to the captives and took them captive. And that's when 500 men were seen to be resurrected with Christ. In Corinthians, it talks about that. And so...
So he would have been Roman, this fellow here.
A centurion, yeah. So we're going to go to a break. We're going to... Maybe I'll repay this a visit tomorrow when I can sit back and look, read it and think about it without Jason's "Mary, did you know" resounding in my head.
This question never had a chance anyway.
Didn't have a chance. I mean, this was just amazing. We're going to take a break here, come back. We got Jim Waters coming on with us after the break, going to talk to us a little bit about the general session in the state of Kentucky and all that came out of that. We'll be right back here after Mornings of Boxster Radio on the Boxster Radio Network.